Welcome to Entrepreneurial Entrails for some short stories on the guts and glories of being an entrepreneur. Hey, it's Elizabeth Plouffe, and welcome to Entrepreneurial Entrails. It's kind of a combo deal today. We're kind of doing Entrepreneurial Entrails and Ballsy in Review. So just to recap, I'm an entrepreneur in Halton Region here in Ontario that owns MCV Communications. I've been an entrepreneur off and on for, 20 years. I've had a cake decorating business, I had a gardening business. I owned my own business center for a year, and in addition, I do MCV Communications, which provides communication support for small businesses. So I either teach business owners everything they need to know for their business communications, or I fill that skill gap for them. So all depends on where their budget and interest and energy lies. Some get very excited about doing social media and communications and doing their own writing, and some look like they want to throw up in their coffee. So, you know, we sort of see how the conversation goes. But being a solopreneur, it kind of drives me banana pants to be on my own a lot. And I was doing a lot of networking and, not knocking anybody. And I've talked about this before, but a lot of the networking groups are strictly that. You're just there to exchange cards, see if your services will fit, and you're out the door. And I, you know, absolutely has value, and it's great that people are invigorated to do that. Some networking groups, you know, move towards building social relationships for women, but, you know, I have enough friends, so I'm good. I decided to go a bit of a different way. It's not exactly a mastermind, but Ballsy is particularly for women to talk about business and specific business issues depending on how the meeting goes. So I've partnered with Women in Tech, which is a group through Silicon Halton. And Silicon Halton is a local organization that helps people, startups and small businesses in the tech industry. And they have a subgroup called Women in Tech, which is awesome. And so we've partnered together because women in tech are also women in business. And there's some universalities there. And so we've been focusing this month between Women in Tech, well, the end of March into April, on sales, because most entrepreneurs at some point were an employee. And as most people know, even if your job is specifically sales, if you're doing it for an organization, the pressure's a little bit off in that the product or service that you're selling was somebody else's baby. Sorry, I'll just hack in your ear. With somebody else's brainchild, the bottom line for the product or service comes down to the organization that you're representing versus you hanging your shingle out there and it's all you. And so transitioning from that employee to entrepreneur, salesperson can be really challenging. And, you know, women, of course, we have our little mind chatter that goes on, and I'm sure men do too. I don't know what your mind chatter is, boys. My husband, now tells me all about his boxes and how he only deals with one issue at a time versus women whose brains are like spaghetti on heroin and they're all over the place. So today we had a great meeting this morning. We had 7 members come out, which is a great size. And I know some people would charge towards larger numbers, and I'm really finding great value in having these small intense groups that they are just so interested in helping each other, which is amazing, and sharing their information, which I love. So today we focused on, like I said, on sales. And I had the group do an exercise where they filled out some stickies. This is it's an agile technique. You fill out stickies and then you group the stickies by what the overarching theme seems to be. So we had a bunch. I'm gonna read you some of them. So one of mine, for an example, was working on my own. You know, from a sales perspective, when you work on your own, it's really hard to generate new ideas, especially for your own business. And the more I talk to people who are solopreneurs, the more I hear that come up. So I've come up with a solution. I'll put an action item out there right away. I've just hired my first employee, and so I've proposed to her that I pay her, a couple of hours a month to brainstorm with me, because that just makes my life easier and I get better ideas. So yay. But you can also do that with a build buddy, where it's a more informal situations set up where you're both, you know, mutually benefiting from the relationship. And hopefully, you know, that person is also creative and you can mind map and brainstorm together. Overcoming client resistance. We talked about the limbic brain system this morning and how if your sales messaging is off or threatening, that as soon as you trigger the limbic brain in somebody, they are not listening to what you have to say. And the limbic part of your brain is to do with fight or flight. So perceiving threats and the reality of those and what have you. Worst thing you can do is trigger that in somebody when you're trying to sell them, because yeah, then you're hooped and your job is that much harder. Making impact with stories, reaching prospects, you know, your own personal mindset. We talked about, you know, imposter syndrome and remaining positive. This was a really cool one. Finding a client at the stage that needs what I have to offer, which, you know, for some organizations can be really challenging. And working on strategic interviewing to uncover those potential for sales. What else did we talk about? Marketing. Oh, marketing is not my background. Really hard when you're not only having to learn your own business, but having to learn all these, you know, potentially outsourceable skills that you just might not be able to afford quite yet. Being clear in your messaging. What else did we talk about? One thing that came up, which is really kind of cool, which I wouldn't have considered, is how you overcome competitors who undercut pricing. So they have decided to take the low road and really lowball their pricing to, you know, get really high churn on customers. And that can be really hard for people who are offering same services, but at reasonable industry standards for pricing. So that was definitely an interesting conversation this morning. And high expectations. And I think that has to do around the sales cycle. So maybe underestimating the length of the sales cycle and overestimating how quickly you're going to be able to close the sale or how many you're going to be able to do per month and what have you. And one really cool point was, which I'm really a strong proponent of, is introducing services in a way that don't feel like I'm only interested in selling. So, you know, getting the sales message across without being cheesy and setting off the whoop whoop sales alert. So we talked about a variety of things. I'm a huge believer in education, obviously. That's why I do this podcast. And if sales is something that you're struggling with, then, you know, the value to you to commit an hour or two a month, which is quite truthful, a little low on the time scale, but upfront, an hour or two a month to investigating webinars, any local workshops, books, all that kind of stuff. My other podcast, usually for Wise Word Wednesdays, is all about business books, and I'm transitioning into sales books, so that's what you'll hear about for the next couple of months. Investigating behavior change, ways that you can change your mindset if you are suffering from the imposter syndrome or you're in the throes of that transition from employee to entrepreneur, and you kind of have to get over the fact that it all starts, begins, and ends with you. Transitioning from one career to another and recognizing that you have transferable sales skills that you might not realize that you have. Or if you're entering back into the workforce after having been at home for a while, recognizing that you have to sell in one variety or another with your family just about every day, especially depending on the age of your kids. You know, you have to negotiate with them and sell them on the idea of cleaning their room or sell them on the idea of, you know, doing certain things. So don't discount the many ways you might be selling that you don't quite realize. And we had one member that came out today who was in a corporate role for quite a while. And we sort of talked over how she, in fact, had been selling for most of her corporate career. It just wasn't with the whole, you know, sales moniker attached to it. So transferable skills and transferable experience, and maybe looking at your experience in a variety of roles differently to see where you may have been selling and not realize it, can sometimes give you some more confidence when you're now having to sell in this new entrepreneurial role. The sales cycle, understanding that you need at least 7 touch points with somebody before they're usually ready to commit to selling. And overcoming preconceived notions of your industry. So if you happen to be, and I'm not picking on anybody, these are just the ones that came up this morning. If you happen to be in finance, you know, variety of organizations that offer financial services. If you happen to be in real estate, car sales, anything where somebody may have had a negative experience somewhere, keep in mind that when you're talking to a new prospect that you don't know their background, you don't know the history that they've had with people previously in your industry, and be sensitive to the fact that they may be looking calm on the surface, but underneath they could be having, you know, old Mother Ducker going on in their head because they don't know how to get out of the situation, and you might be overcoming some prejudices that have nothing to do with you but will exist. So just be aware of that and maybe take it a little slower depending on the industry that you're in, to make sure that you're building trust and credibility, because there are those preconceived notions about certain industries that unfortunately you're going to have to overcome. So when we went through and sort of grouped together the feedback that we got from people, so the five things that we went through were going over messaging, pitch, and stories, and how important it is to work with somebody on creating the right language for those things. And one of the things that we talked about was making sure that you talked about the education and experience that you have, because when people pay a lower price or they pay somebody who's less experienced or less educated than you, then the potential is for huge screw-ups that will cost that person a lot more time and energy in the long run than if they were to pay a little more for the education and experience that you have. And definitely looking towards opportunities for social proof, so testimonials and that kind of thing, so that it makes your story easier to share with somebody. Getting over the, pardon me, the imposter mindset and asking for the sale. And one of the key components that came up today, which I hadn't really thought about before, was the timing of the ask. Although somebody put it to me that when you rush to the ask of a sale, it's like going on your first date and proposing with a big diamond ring. You know, you're jumping straight to the good stuff versus taking the time to, you know, court that client and build that relationship so that they feel they have some ground with you to continue to work from. And, you know, just sort of guiding them to the right exit place, especially within the conversation or within your online streams, so that they end up where you want them to provide them with the best opportunity to take advantage of your services or products. Another thing that came up with sales was building your network, as far as channel partners, or if you're in an MLM situation, like USANA, or, I mean, there's a ton of them out there, Eugenics or whatever. So that if you have to get associates to build your revenue, then, you know, what do you have to do that? There is some selling in there when you want somebody to work for you. We just touched on it briefly, the cost versus quality and overcoming people who undercut within your industry. And the last one is something that I think every business person struggles with, and it's how to prioritize your activities so that the sales cycle falls into your everyday activity, and people don't get dropped through your process. And how do you balance, you know, sort of events and your online activity with follow-up and where people are in the sales cycle and what you should be doing so that you create warm leads and the sell is much easier. So it was just really cool today, going through all of those things and getting everybody's feedback and expertise and understanding the value of working through the sales cycle. And I think we managed to hopefully reassure people that in some cases, you know, they had far more experience in selling than they realized, and that it's not hard to overcome. I truly believe that education is key to confidence. So I'm sitting on my Wise Word Library page on my website, which is all about the podcast that I do. And so some of the books that I've read for sales that I have found really helpful, for an example, one is by a local author, Scott Stratton. He did Unmarketing, and I'm actually have to read his, I'm going to add his second book to my pile, which is the revised edition. So I'm excited about reading that. Jab, 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 Right Hook by Gary Vaynerchuk talks about your online selling and the different ways you need to look at how you're using Instagram and LinkedIn and the messaging that you're using. He does a great job of showing what falls flat and what works and why. Dale Carnegie, if you've never read any of Dale Carnegie's stuff, How to Win Friends and Influence People is, I mean, that's a massive part of selling. And so understanding what's going on psychologically behind the scenes is really key to making sure that, you know, you're not, it's not something that you're doing or saying that's killing your business. And maybe asking for that feedback from people who may have overheard you in a sales situation. You know, swallow your pride and ask people to tell you exactly how you're doing is one of the best ways to improve improve your situation. You Inc. By Harry Beckwith was really well done. Very short and sweet little bites that are easy to apply. I'm actually going to reread that one. Pitch Anything by Oren Claff, another great book. That appeared to be more about financial pitching and when you're trying to get funds for your startup and what have you, but it did talk about the psychological components that people can use during the selling process, positive and negative. You know, constantly rescheduling meetings with you, keeping you waiting, all that kind of thing where they're trying to establish the power so that you're kind of off put with your selling and you stumble a bit and they nail you. Jeffrey Gitomer has got a great little book. Last name is Gitomer, called The Little Red Book of Selling. And again, these are all ones I've done podcasts on. So if you want to learn more about the book before you commit to it, then, you know, these are all of these books are anywhere from, you know, $10 to $40. It's not a massive investment, but the payoff can be a huge change into how you sell and the difference it can make to your business can be key. I know I've noticed a huge difference in my ability to sell and what I'm not sell. That's, yeah, see, we instinctively, I mean, I would offer, I'm going to stop with the, because there's a whole bunch on the website that you can have a look at, the Wise Word Library. Crush It by Gary Vaynerchuk's a great one. Shameless Exploitation is a funny one. That's by actually Paul Newman, the actor, and A.E. Hockner, about the start of Newman's own salad dressings and stuff. I actually just finished reading Peter F. Drucker's Innovation and Entrepreneurship. That's another one that's got some wise words in it. What I would suggest, I'm just going to wrap up a little bit because I'm going over, but what I would suggest is sit back for a second, especially if you're an entrepreneur, and think about selling for a second. And I know this might sound a bit goofy, but pay attention to what your body does. Do you have a visceral reaction where you pull back from the idea of selling? Or, you know, do you have no reaction, which can also be a problem? Or do you think, yeah, no, great, can't wait to get in there and you've had some positive experiences? And if you're having the positive experience, awesome, rock on, keep going. You know, I would still recommend that you continue to learn and broaden your scope and pick up new skills. But if you thought about selling in the sales process for your business and you have a visceral reaction to pull back and you instantly have this sort of negative reaction to the idea of selling in the sales process, then I strongly encourage you to talk to somebody about it, colleague, whatever, because that fear, that anxiety, only has power over you as long as you don't talk about it. The second you start talking about it, somebody, I guarantee you, somebody's going to commiserate with you, somebody's going to have empathy for you, and that person might have some tools that you can use to break that negative association that you have to the sales cycle and kind of help you put your big girl or boy pants on and do it. Because if you're an entrepreneur, you're it, my friend. If you are not willing to sell and promote your business, why should anybody want to work with you? And if your reaction to that was, well, because I'm effing awesome, that's great. You have to believe in you. You have to be willing to sell you in order for other people to buy you. So again, that's going to be my wrap up. And that's something that I'm going to recommend to my ballsy group, that if you're having a gut reaction to selling that is anything but, yep, I can do that, then there's some work to be done. You know, like I say, find a mentor, find somebody to talk to voice your fears and take away the power that it's having over you. For God's sake, learn, You know, invest in time every single month, every single week if you can, to improve your selling. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. If you haven't, pardon my language, if you haven't reached fuck it yet, then that could be part of the issue. Once you reach fuck it, I guarantee you selling isn't so scary. But if you can get over it before you reach fuck it, you might not be broke before you get there. So that's it for today. That's ballsy in review and some wise words all at once. Woohoo, twofer. I hope you're having a fantastic week. By the time you hear this, it's probably Thursday. So, you know, only four more days until Monday and then yeehaw. Just know that you have the guts and glory to make your own story. And you can check me out on Twitter at MCVPloof, and Instagram is the same thing. I'm on LinkedIn, Elizabeth Ploof, and then check out MCV Communications. That's my website that I've got all kinds of wacky stuff on there. You can sign up for a newsletter and all that fun stuff. That's it. Keep selling. And if you're not selling, find out why not. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.